us, would you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 12 with me? Gospel of John chapter 12, and we will read verses 12 through 19. Gospel of John chapter 12, verses 12 through 19. I want to talk to you today about seeking a Savior. Seeking a Savior. Beginning to read in verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we just pray this morning that you will give us revelation from your word, that, Lord, you will convict our hearts, and that, Lord, you will encourage our hearts, that, Lord, you would be the focal point every day of our lives, not only in this season. Lord, I pray that you put a watch on my mouth, that I would only speak the words you've ordained this morning. Not a word more or a word less. And all to your glory. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today, obviously, is Palm Sunday. And on this day every year, we remember that Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. Just 5 days before he was crucified. The people in Jerusalem were pretty excited about Jesus coming into the city. Many of them figured this was the beginning of a national uprising to throw out the Roman government. That's the kind of leader they were earnestly seeking. And Jesus seemed to be the one sent by God to do it. So these God-believing people who had already been waiting for many years for someone like Jesus to come to their political rescue and were pretty excited. Thus, the palm branches and shouting and excitement. They were living in that day under the oppression of the Romans. And they had been praying and believing for a deliverer, for a king to rise up that would deliver them. Does any of this sound familiar? Now, we are not under the oppression of a Roman Empire, but we are rapidly falling, and when I say we, I'm talking about not only this nation, but the whole world. We are rapidly falling under the oppression of the cabal. And if you don't know what the cabal is, you need to look it up. Because what I'm telling you is true. Obviously, we're focused on Jesus. But there's a lesson for us to learn as we look at the history of what was going on then when Jesus came. And compare the expectation that we have in our hearts to the expectation that they had in their hearts then. So my goal this morning is to try to unfold some of that, unpack some of that, a little bit of history, and compare it to where we're at today, because there are a bunch of parallels. 5 days later, that same crowd switched from shouting Hosanna to shouting Crucify Him. 5 days it took. Do you have any questions about how fickle humanity is? 5 days it took. They were so excited because they were going to have their new king, and they didn't even understand what was happening. They didn't have any idea what was happening. Even Jesus' disciples did not completely understand what was happening, what was taking place. Now, I am obviously not about to make a statement that would lead you to believe that God doesn't care about the governments in the earth. But what trumps everything you guys are awake is the relationship that we have with Jesus and the focus on Him as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords of our lives. And that is what has been lost drastically in our culture, is Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Drastic things have happened with people that profess to be born-again believers. Roughly 90% right now of people that profess to be born-again believers do not possess a biblical worldview. I don't know about you, but that scares me. If I didn't know in my knower that what God has been speaking to me and has spoken to me over the years, if I didn't have a foundation of faith in God that He is going to get her done, I'd be a mess right now. Because I see what's happening. I mean, I do my homework, man. I'm paying attention to what's going on in the world. I'm paying attention to what's going on in this nation. And you're not going to find out what it is looking at the media, mainline media. You got to search to find what's true. And oh, of course, the mainstream media and the people involved in what's going on in the earth are going to say that you're involved in conspiracy theories, but lo and behold, as time goes by, all of a sudden what was a conspiracy theory is fact.
Amen.
Dare I mention a laptop? You guys are awake. Somebody else has been paying at least a little bit of attention.
Right.
But think about it, guys, how fickle people are. They were earnestly seeking someone, all right, but Jesus wasn't coming through with what they had in mind. I am so sick of well-meaning believers putting timelines on God. Is anybody else sick and tired of it? And then they keep moving the goalposts. You never get a touchdown because every time you look up while you're running, the goalposts have been moved further. God is God. Humanity is not, no matter how hard they try to be. And all of this is going to shake out in God's time.
Amen.
But here I can tell you, God is going to have His way. And God is going to rescue this nation. But it has to come through God. You need to understand, our nation is so far past the tipping point right now that if it wasn't for God, we'd be done for. And that's the fact. That's just the absolute truth of it, guys. But God. See, in our passage, and what we're celebrating here with Palm Sunday is the fact that Jesus came riding into town. When Jesus comes in riding into town, things are about to change. But here's the problem. People have preconceived notions of what it's going to be. Things that are conjured up in their own minds and they think are prophetic, and they lead themselves astray and the people that they have influence over astray as well. And then you have a bunch of people that give up hope because they had their hope in the wrong things to begin with. Have you ever heard me give you a time frame when anything's going to happen? There's a reason for that. This is the only time frame I've ever given you. And that is that the rightful president will be back in, and it will be before 2024. That's the only timeline I've ever given. And the only reason I gave that is because it's what God spoke to me. So if you got a problem with that, you take it up with God, not me. Figuring he was just a disappointing fraud, these people now wanted him out. It blows my mind how many people have been on board, believed the prophetic, and one by one, they're falling by the wayside because it has taken longer than they think it should. Have you read your Bible? Did you ever see how God deals with people that have gotten frustrated with Him because He was doing it according to His will instead of man's time frame? He straightens people out. He says things like, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Where were you when I told the oceans how far they could go and no further? Where were you when I created all that I created? Where were you?" See, that's a very good reminder for all of us. We have got to stop putting limits on God because He don't fit in a box very well. He just don't. And guys, I completely believe He is working all that He's working right now behind the scenes so that no one will be able to have any doubt when all is said and done that it was God and Him only that did it. He needs to get every single bit of the glory. He won't share His glory with any man or woman. And that's it. Two genders. That's it. Slipping a couple things in here, just checking if you're awake. See, I want you awake, but I don't want you woke. When my back hurts. So they figured he was a disappointing fraud. Took him 5 days. Oh, praise God. This is wonderful. Here comes our king. Took him 5 days to get disillusioned and say, "Kill him. crucify him.
5 days, guys.
How pathetic is that? I've never experienced that kind of a thing per se. But being a pastor now for 23 years and having a lot of people turn their back on me, I've experienced a form of it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And it's usually the people that tell you, "Oh, we love you, Pastor." And then a while later, where'd the love go? I'm not feeling it. Does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
See, when Jesus came riding into town, humble, lowly, on the foal of a donkey, he wasn't looking for a date. He's looking for a bride. He's coming back for a bride, not a date. So, that excludes dating around. Even if you're 18? I think it's the icy hot she's been rubbing in my back. They were seeking the kind of Savior needed to fit their idea of salvation. Now we're going to get somewhere. See, we got a real big problem in humanity. Humanity has a tendency to want a God that is crafted after their image.
Yeah.
That's what humanity wants. A God that is crafted after their image. But see, we are made in God's image. And He alone is the Creator. Scripture tells us that there in our mother's wombs was the Lord, knitting us together in our mother's wombs. He and He alone is the Creator. We have absolutely no right to try to wrestle God into our image. But humanity has been trying for a long time. And it's reached critical mass. When we have 90% of the people that profess to be born again Christians that don't even profess a biblical worldview, we got a problem. We need to earnestly search our hearts. Because if we have a worldview that opposes the Word of God, then our profession of Christ is bogus. I don't know how else to say it. There's something wrong with our profession of Christ if our worldview opposes the Word of God. And any church that is all-inclusive, and I think you know what I mean. See, I've got young people in here, so I'm being tactful. If they weren't here, I'd blow your hair back. Because this is a big issue. It's not a small issue. We got problems. And any church that says we're all-inclusive and takes people that are living a lifestyle that completely 180 degrees counters the Word of God, get out of that church. Run! Run for your life, because you are running for your life. Get out of a church that is woke. God is coming back, my friends, and He's not going to ride into town on a donkey. When He comes back, when He breaks the eastern sky, He's going to be on a stallion. And He's not coming back humble this time. He's coming back because He is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He's going to bring heaven's host with Him. Did you know the devil and all of his fallen angels are outnumbered? 2 to 1. There's 2/3 of the angels that stayed with God. And not only that, God Himself trumps everything and everybody. But people seek after a king, a God that is made in their image. Because that's what they want. See, to use a term my folks and my grandparents used to use, they used to say, you can't have your cake and eat it too. See, too many people today are stiff-necked. They want just enough of Jesus to avoid going to hell, but they don't want to surrender their life to Him. And what that means is He's not Lord and Savior. And if He is not Lord and Savior, He's not Savior at all. He must be Lord. And if He is Lord, then He is in charge of our lives. And we surrender those things that we don't want to let go of. I mentioned this last week, but I want to mention it again. Too many people that profess to be Christians are living in compartmentalized lives. Well, yeah, I go to church on Sunday, but when I go to vote and I go in the voting booth, I'm a different person. I vote for this one in spite of the fact, because see, I'm in a union. So the union tells me this is the way I have to vote. And guess what? The union's going to hell and everybody along with them. Because they oppose everything that is of God. We think we can compartmentalize our lives and that there are no consequences. Well, yeah, I'm a believer. I go to church on Sunday. I even go on Wednesday night to Bible study. And I bring my kids. Good. That's all good. But if we are not believers again on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, all the way back around to Sunday again, then our profession is bogus. We need to be the same person all of those other 6 days that we are on Sunday. You cannot be a Christian in good standing and go into a voting booth and cast your ballot for someone that is for murdering babies. Amen. You cannot do that and be for someone that is for LGBTQ and however many other letters there are. You can't do it. You cannot do it. The profession is bogus. That confession is bogus. You can't do it. You cannot vote. See, we are accountable for everything that we vote for because we have been blessed with a democracy, but it's falling apart at an alarming rate. They had a problem with the Romans. We have a problem equally as big. So when the Savior actually came, they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him. Because see, they weren't looking for that kind of Savior. Which kind of Savior are you all looking for? That's the question I got today. Which kind of Savior are you looking for? Are you looking for a Savior that you think is just going to give you a pass on all this stuff? And the decisions that we make that oppose the Word of God? Or are you looking for a Savior, the one that created us? Are you looking for the one that created us and sustains us? The one that is coming back for a bride without rotten spots? It says spot or wrinkle. To me, that's rotten spots. Which Savior are we looking for? Which one? The one that says, oh, that's all right. That's all right. Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, I do realize that the Word is old. It's been a couple thousand years since I was here. And it is. That's not it. You ain't going to want me to get a backache again, are you? Guys, this world is headed to hell in a handbasket. And my God has given me a platform which I am accountable for. So I have to preach the Word of God. Because one day I'm going to stand before a holy God just like you are and give an account of what I did with the opportunities that He gave me, and you will do the same. That is the reality of it, guys. So this is a celebration of a Savior that rides into town. But it's also a warning so that you don't get left behind. I plead with you, if you don't have a biblical worldview, to get it straightened out before it's too late. Palm Sunday is a reminder that earnestly seeking God has to do with who God is, not who we want Him to be. There's a vast difference. It seems today there are a lot of people that have all kinds of ideas about who God should be. All kinds of ideas. But the only view of God that is the right view is the one that we get from the Word of God, because the Word of God is the revelation of Himself. So if the view we have of God opposes what the Word of God says about Him, it's wrong. And we need to straighten it out. And not say, no, I'm going to have it this way because I'm stiff-necked. Did you know that every time in His Word that God referred to a people as stiff-necked, it did not end well? Look it up, guys. I'm telling you the truth. It did not, on every instance, it did not end well. And it's not going to end well for people that maintain a stiff-necked lifestyle today. Listen, I don't know when Christ is going to return. If I tried to set a date, I'd be a heretic like the rest of them have. The dates come and go. But because of that, we have a bunch of people that say to themselves, yeah, they've been saying that for 2,000 years. I'm just going to live, let myself live, and be happy. I'm going to enjoy life and do what I want to. They've been saying that for a couple thousand years. There's something happening right now that is different. Jesus said it will be as in the days of Noah when he returns. Now, for a long time, we've not completely understood what that meant. I'm probably going to tell you something that's going to blow your mind, but I feel compelled to tell you. There was evil beyond what people could imagine on the earth when God raised up Noah and his family to make an ark. Right? But let's talk about what some of that evil was that people have not been understanding. The DNA had been mingled because angels had relations, I gotta be careful here, with humans. Are you with me? And so you end up with the DNA defiled. And apparently, that spread through the whole earth, and the whole earth, their DNA was defiled, except Noah's family. What makes today more like that is because the mRNA shots are altering people's DNA forever. Forever. There's no getting it changed back. So the DNA in humanity is being defiled around the world. As in the days of Noah. That's what makes right now different than in the previous 2,000 years. I think we are on the brink of Christ's return. I don't know the day or hour. But I think we're on the brink of it, guys. I do. When is Jesus going to come riding into town on a stallion? We celebrate Palm Sunday as we are today because that had to happen. He had to ride into town, and people had to turn on him and crucify him because that was the plan of salvation. There is no salvation without sacrifice. And Jesus is that one supreme sacrifice for all time, guys. Have I got your attention yet? Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. It's a very small percentage of professing believers that earnestly seek God today. That's a true fact. Who are earnest in it. See, if you're earnest in seeking God, then if God's word says it, I believe it. And I'm going to do the best I can to practice it, right? That's what that means. But a lot of people that profess Him, they're not earnestly seeking Him because, like I said earlier in this message, they're living compartmentalized lives. Guys, you can't do it. People cannot do that. You can't divide up your life in compartments and say, well, in this compartment I'm a Christian, but in this one, well, the world's got a lot to offer. God's got the road to hell to offer. See, God points us to Jesus. He's the only Savior. And we can't afford to miss Him. Absolutely can't afford to miss Him. People are very impressionable. Am I right? Aren't we impressionable? Folks that are sports enthusiasts, I love sports too, so I'm not making fun of anybody, please understand. But I've seen people go to sporting events and absolutely go crazy and act a fool. Do you know what I'm talking about? And when they come into church, where'd that passion go? Because worship's going on, the Spirit of God is brooding on the people. Really? Where's that guy that was just at the football game? Yeah. Are you excited about Jesus?
Yeah.
I am. He saved me from what I deserve. And He gave me what He deserves, and for that I love Him. And I'm going to do the best I know how to serve Him. Oh, I'm still a sinner saved by grace. But I'm doing the best I can. And that's what God asks of us. It's a well-known fact, none of us can be good enough in and of ourselves. That's why we needed Jesus. That's why we're here talking about the things we're talking about real relationship with Him and about the fact that He rode into town on a donkey the first time. But the next time it won't be a donkey. Are you ready to meet Him in the air? Have you got oil on your lamp? Verse 17 of our text says, now the crowd that was with Him when He called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. He did a miracle and they were excited and they were spreading the word. Hey, this prophet from, you know, blah, 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 blah. They're excited and they're fired up. And 5 days later they're saying, kill Him! Crucify Him! Well, how about if I crucify Barabbas? No! Give us Barabbas! Set him free! Crucify him! And the sin that He bore on Him, being a sinless man, was put there by you and me. You and I, our sin, put Jesus on that cross. And the sin of everyone for all time put Him on that cross. That's the reality of it, guys. But you know what really blows my mind? He knew all of it. He knew what was going to happen to Him. when he rode into town. He knew the people that were standing there waving palm branches and saying Hosanna were the very people that were going to say crucify 5 days later. And he still took that ride. Because he loved you and me that much. Guys, it don't get any better. And all he asks in return, so that we can go and reside with God forever and ever, when our life is required of us, is that we would lay down our life. Lay down our own will. Take up our cross daily. That's what that's talking about. And follow him. See, he's talking about living daily in a life that possesses a biblical worldview. Because we are submitted to him. Did I do an adequate job this morning of getting this out there?
Amen.
How many of you are mad? You mad? Okay. Are you mad at me?
No.
Don't crucify the messenger. I'll only carry the message. Let's stand together. We're actually done a few minutes early, guys. Hallelujah. Father, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for your conviction. I thank you for your love. I thank you for your grace. I thank you for peace that passes understanding. Lord, we thank you for you being you and all of your attributes. I pray, Lord, as we've been challenged today, I know this is a challenging message. I pray that as we leave here, we would spend this week searching our hearts and in prayer and delving into your word and truly seeking after you before we come on Resurrection Sunday, 1 week from today, to take communion and to worship you in spirit and truth. That, Lord, we would so search our hearts that we would come ready to fall on our knees before you and surrender it all. We give you praise for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you all.
Amen.